Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and today we are in the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 14, resuming our study in verse 27. So get your Bible, if you can, open it up to John 14, verse 27. The Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. You can study the Bible in its entirety from Genesis through Revelation using my audio Bible messages at thebibleversebyverse.com. So check it out. Bring your Bible. That's all you need. The rest is there. Go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website. Click on whatever book you want to study and listen as I teach it verse by verse. One more time, that's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Okay, let's get into today's message. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, John 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, if this world was all that there is, we should be troubled, because life is short, and then it would end. If we didn't have an answer to our sin problem, if Jesus didn't pay for our sins, so we were all destined to go to hell after we died, then we should be troubled. But Jesus came, our God, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Provider, became a man. He loved us so much and died on the cross to pay for our sins, so that we wouldn't have to be judged, so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. And so Jesus can say to his people, now remember, he's talking to his people, his apostles. He tells them not to be troubled. If you're not a Christian, Jesus would never say to you, "Let not your heart be troubled." If anything, he would say, "You better be troubled, because you're a heartbeat out of the lake of fire, mister." So he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The world can provide distractions so that you can forget about reality for a little while. But that's not peace. The world's amusements cannot take away the fear of death. And until the fear of death is gone, there can be no real peace in your life. Peace of mind, knowing that your sins are forgiven and you don't have to fear death, comes only through Jesus Christ. 28. "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father. For my Father is greater than I." The disciples' love is selfish at this point. They don't even realize it, but Jesus points it out. Selfishness is one of those sins that can sneak in the back door of our soul without us even knowing it. And that's why we need to be in the Word of God. Just like they were with Jesus, listening to the Word of God that he spoke. The Word of God will illuminate our souls and show us those sins that have snuck in the back door that we're not even aware of, but can still affect us negatively. And as for the disciples, they were self-centered. They thought of themselves, not of Jesus. they wanted to keep Jesus around because they liked it that way. And that's understandable. You know, that's understandable. But they did not consider the humiliation involved in Jesus, God, being a man here on earth. If their love is pure for the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, they will miss Christ when he is gone, but they will be happy for him that he's returning to the Father. When we lose a loved one, it's okay to miss them. It's only natural to miss them. But if they're saved, we should be happy for them too, because they've gone to a much better place. They've gone to be in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all the saints who went before them. 29, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. So Jesus predicted that he will ascend back into heaven, so that after he does, the disciples will believe that he is God, because he knew it in advance. Verse 30. Jesus says, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. He will not talk much with them. In a short time, it will be over. Boy, I would savor every word that Jesus spoke between now and then. The end is near. The finish line has almost arrived. This great time of living with Jesus on the earth is winding down. You better make the most of it. I believe in making the most of the time that God has given me. I don't always do it, sad to say, but it drives me. I hate it when I waste time. I love to be on top of things spiritually and tight with Jesus, because I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste opportunities. And it's like Jesus said, work while it is light, for the night cometh when no man can work. Take advantage of what you have today. Don't fret over what you don't have. Take advantage of what God has given you and the opportunities that he has given you. And I like what Jesus says in the last part of verse 30. Well, let's read the whole thing. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, that's talking about Satan, cometh, and he hath nothing in me. The devil had no hold on Christ because Christ never sinned. That's what he is saying. I'm sinless. The devil had no claim on Christ because Christ never sinned. The devil could not say, God, you got to send Jesus to hell after he dies. He couldn't say that. He's the accuser of the brethren, but he couldn't accuse Christ without those accusations falling on deaf ears, if you're talking about God, because Jesus never did anything wrong. That's what he's talking about. Satan has no claim on Christ because Jesus never sinned. Satan can, and here's the beautiful thing. Satan can accuse any of us Christians to God. He can accuse us night and day until his demonic voice is hoarse. You know what he could say? He could say, God, Moretta's a sinner. He belongs in hell. But he has no claim on Christ, and he has no claim on us, because we are in Christ. And all of our sins are washed away. No accusations against Jesus would stick, and no accusations against us will stick, because we are justified, we are declared righteous, we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If we are Christians, we're ready to go. 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. The cross proves that Jesus loves us. The cross, which was the Father's will for Jesus, proves his love for the Father as well. He was willing to obey the Father, even to the point of dying on the cross. And once again, we see that Christ's command to us to love God is modeled by him to the greatest possible degree. Chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. The vine is a biblical symbol of Israel. But now Jesus says, I am the true vine. In other words, the Israelites were no longer to seek to be identified with the Jewish religion. From now on, they were to seek to be identified with Christ. In other words, being a Jew is no longer the way to salvation as it was in Old Testament days. To be saved, you need to be a Christian. To be saved, you need to latch hold of the true vine, Jesus Christ. Look at that verse again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. God cuts off every Christian who does not bear fruit. Notice that. He takes him away. Paul said, I beat my body into subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I will become a castaway. And so he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, and he's talking about a branch that is in him. So he's talking about a saved person. He's talking about a Christian. Because what is a Christian? A Christian, according to the epistles of Paul, is someone who is in Christ. You're in Christ Jesus. And here Jesus says, every branch in me, every Christian that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. It's good to be a Christian who is living for God, bearing spiritual fruit. It's a wonderful way to be. But God wants us to be even more productive. God wants us to produce even more fruit. If you're bearing some fruit as a Christian, you're living for Jesus, you're living a holy life, you're doing things for the Lord, you're loving Jesus, you're in the Word some, you're in prayer some, you know what? God's not satisfied. I mean, he's happy that you're doing what you're doing, but he wants you to do more. More good stuff. More things for his glory. God wants us to produce even more fruit. So, he knows how to make that happen. He prunes us. And one of the clippers that he uses most effectively is difficult times. Suffering hurts. Just like if a tree could feel, taking the clippers and clipping off some branches would hurt that too. Suffering hurts, but it drives us closer to Christ, and in the end, makes us more fruitful and more holy. Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. See the value of God's word? Every chance I have, I point out the value of God's word when God's word speaks of it, because I love it so much. It has to be given out straight, or it doesn't do its job. It has to be given out without watering it down, without regard to the feelings of others. I'll never forget hearing a woman said this to me a long, long time ago, probably 25 years ago. She was upset She was listening to a Bible teacher. He's a good, solid Bible teacher. And she was listening to him. I recommended him. And she was upset because he said something. And I said, but what he said is absolutely biblical. And I said, it's in the Bible. He taught the Bible. He was teaching the Bible. It's crystal clear. She says, I don't care if it's in the Bible or not. He shouldn't say it. What? What is the matter with some Christians' brains? How dare you say something? I don't care if it's in the Bible. You shouldn't teach because it makes some people feel bad. Boy, did that enlighten my eyes concerning that person. Wow. She was getting clipped by the Word of God. She should have submitted to it. She was getting pruned. It hurt. It stung. Fine. That's what clipping does. Submit to it. God will clip you if you read the Word of God. God will clip you if you study the Word of God. God will clip you if you listen to somebody who teaches it straight without watering it down, and you'll be better for it in the long run. I remember one time I had a flowering crab apple tree in my front yard. And the first few years that I lived there, it was growing a little bit, you know. And I thought, well, you know, after a few years, it was getting too big. I thought it needed to be pruned. So I went and I pruned it. I cut all the way around it. You know, I made a nice round shape, but it looked pretty good. Much to my surprise, I didn't know anything about trees. The next year, that thing grew 2 feet all the way around because I pruned it. When the Word of God prunes you, when it cuts you, submit to it and you will grow. You'll grow stronger. You'll flourish, spiritually speaking. But you got to take in the pure Word of God. This is why I say, preachers who don't give out the pure Word of God, who water it down to spare the feelings of people or whatever, or to be popular, they ought to get out of the pulpit. They're not doing the work of God. They may be popular. They may be making, you know, a six-figure income. Some do. But they're not worth a single penny. Not to God. So Jesus says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So some clipping comes from suffering. However, much of it comes from us reading the word. Reading, studying, listening to God's word will sanctify us from the inside out. A lot of times, if you study the Word of God a lot, you read the Word of God a lot, you don't need so much clipping. We all need some. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. A Christian cannot possibly grow in holiness, though, unless they're taken in the Word of God. That's how you grow. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. If you cut a branch, like I did, off a crabapple tree, that branch will not produce apples. It's dead. You know what happened? I cut those branches off when I pruned that tree. No berries, no little apples ever grew on that branch again. It just kind of withered and died. Probably used it for firewood. And it's the same thing with Jesus. We must abide with Christ. We Christians must stay connected to Jesus. That is, we must have continual fellowship with Christ through praise and prayer and the scriptures. Spiritual fruit comes as a byproduct of our walking with Christ. The Holy Spirit will naturally produce fruit through us if we stay close to Jesus and focus on him. Don't focus on producing fruit, because then it becomes this man-made self-effort type deal. Just Concentrate on your relationship with Jesus and loving Him. And the Holy Spirit will naturally, as a byproduct, produce fruit through you. 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If we choose not to praise, to pray, to be in the Word, if we choose not to do the things that keep us close to Jesus, then it is absolutely certain that worldliness is going to move in, and it's going to make us useless to Him. The world will affect our thinking, our speaking, and our actions. If our fellowship with Christ is cut off, then He doesn't work through us like He otherwise would. If our fellowship with Jesus is cut off, the world will move in and take over our thinking and our actions. And to the degree that Jesus is in control of us, that is the degree to which the world will be able to control us as well. If you live 50% for Jesus, the world's going to move in and take over the other 50%. And that's a dangerous precedence to start. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, we got to go back to verse 2, where Jesus said, every branch in me, who's in Christ, a Christian, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And now he elaborates on verse 2 in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them into the fire and they are burned. If a person doesn't live for the Lord, they may be saved, but backsliding, which means they will get a good whipping from their Heavenly Father. Others who claim to be Christians but do not live for the Lord are not even saved. They will be gathered and burned. There will be a lot of church people going to hell. Others who are in Christ abide not in Jesus. They do not produce fruit. They become lukewarm. And you never remain stagnant, spiritually speaking. You're either growing or you're regressing in your walk with the Lord. And if you become lukewarm and you become tolerant of sin in your life and you don't repent, that will increase more and more until verse 2 comes to pass. You don't abide in Him anymore. You're not bearing fruit anymore. You don't even care about Jesus anymore. Your sin has eaten away at the fabric of your faith until you don't even believe in Him anymore. Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a very slow process. Apostasy is a very slow process, but it happens. And then you are gathered like a dead branch, plucked out of the tree, good for nothing. You plucked yourself out of that tree when you lost your faith in Jesus Christ. You are gathered, you are burned. You will burn in hell, just as if you've never heard about Jesus. Worse, the flames of hell are going to be hotter for you because you knew the truth. You just turned away from it in favor of your sin, in favor of your lukewarmness. 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it will be done unto you. If you praise and pray and read the word, and are filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in obedience, you know what you can do? This is so great. Then you can pray for anything you want, and God will give it to you. It's true. He says it. Let's read verse 7 again. This is an amazing promise. You want to see some prayers answered? This is dynamite. If ye abide in me, if you're saved, and my words abide in you, you're walking in the Word of God. You're filled with the Word of God. You're filled with the Spirit of God. You're living for me. If ye abide in me, if you're saved and you're living for me, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a promise of answered prayer. You can ask for anything you want, and God will give it to you. And that's because the anything you ask for will not be something your sin nature craves. Because you see, if God is the most important thing to you, that's going to be reflected in your prayers as well. Your prayers will be generated by the Holy Spirit. You will ask for things that are right in line with the Word of God. You will ask for things that God wants to give you, and He will give you. When the time is right, He will give them to you. Verse 8. In this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. See, somebody who says, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but doesn't bear any fruit, doesn't live for Jesus, they're not his disciples. The purpose for prayer, by the way, isn't to get what we want. It is to find out what God wants and ask for it. The purpose for prayer is to ask for things that will, as Jesus says here, glorify God. In this, my Father is glorified. It's okay to ask for what we want as long as we believe it is what God would want as well. And if we're filled with the Spirit, those are the things we're going to ask for. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue in the love of Jesus Christ. Remaining in his love, abiding in his love, is the exact same thing as abiding in Christ. God wants us to be in a position where he can show his love to us. He loves us. But if you want to abide in his love, which means if you want to be in a position where his love can really bless you, where you can get the benefits of his love, then you have to remain obedient to Jesus Christ. Be in a position where he can show his love to you. But he can't if we cut ourselves off through disobedience. I'm going to stop right there. You have any questions for me? You have any comments? Email me at scriptureversebyverse@gmail.com. That's scriptureversebyverse@gmail.com. In the meantime, keep studying the Word of God with me at thebibleversebyverse.com. Keep studying the Word of God verse by verse at your pace, at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages right there at thebibleversebyverse.com. All you need to do is bring your Bible. The rest is there. Click and listen. I hope the Word of God blesses you. If you're a Christian, I believe it does. If you hunger and thirst for the pure Word of God, then I believe you will be blessed at the Scripture Verse by Verse website. If you appreciate this ministry, and if you think it's important to get the Word of God out straight without watering it down, then I ask you to be a part of this ministry. I remind you that I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination, and I never have been. This ministry for over 30 years has depended on people like you, God's holy remnant, really, who love his word. And so, if you want to be a part of this ministry, pray for me, pray for the Word of God, and if you would, please, click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. So long, everyone.